Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The NFL, NHL, Major League Baseball, NBA, and NCAA. Your home for live sports is AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Watson takes the snap. Going to throw it on third and short. Looks right. Now he's surrounded. He is sacked. He is brought down back at the 31-yard line. They don't have a first down yet. And there's a loose ball, and the Bills recover at the 31-yard line. As Watson went down, the ball came out, and the Bills come up with it. Deshaun Watson did it again. Harrison Phillips there comes out of the pile with a football. The rookie comes out of the pile with a football. Watson coughs it up on the sack, and the Bills have a great opportunity now.
Hits of the game brought to you by Brothers Collision and Mechanical in Rochester, a trusted name since 1979. The experts at Brothers work with all insurance companies, helping to streamline the claims process and put your car back in good condition. For trusted work, call Brothers today, 865-5260, or schedule online at brotherscollision.com.
Nate, most importantly, Murphy sounded a little bit better today on One Bills Live. Is his voice holding up okay? What do we know?
I mean, he, like, right from the start, struggled out of that one. I felt bad for him, like, really for the first drive, because I've been there before and had to, like, kind of power through that just awful horse in your voice. I mean, it's painful.
Yeah.
And for him to still have to be able to, I mean, because John, when he makes the call, is an excited guy. Like, his levels get up there, and he struggled through. I mean, yeah, you know, all the power to him for powering through that, but that couldn't have been easy.
No, and you could hear it in that highlight. Boy, normally that's a situation where Murphy's losing his mind, and you could tell, ooh, he's struggling a little bit up there.
Yeah, he was hurting, but you know, the professional that John is, not surprised he powered through that.
Nate, let's talk about how professional you are. I mean, you're the guy that's fielding all the phone calls in the post-game show on the Buffalo Bills radio network, and boy, I'm sure you had no shortage of buttes yesterday afternoon.
I stole the show, guys. I didn't take a call for the first like 28 and a half hour of that show because I really felt the need to light into Kelvin Benjamin a little bit after that game. You know, the reports from Jenna Cottrell, obviously down in Rochester, that before the game he declined to run more routes with his starting quarterback, and he didn't exactly deny that he didn't just turn down Josh Allen. He basically said, yeah, well, I was going in to get an IV, even though we're playing in a 68-degree indoor arena. And I don't know, guys. Yeah, I mean, that was my frustrating rant to start that game. And, you know, obviously with the struggles that Josh Allen has had, the struggles this offense has had, and your number one receiver is going in 90 minutes early because he's got to get hydrated more because he's not hydrated enough, apparently, to play indoors. So that was my big beef with that game yesterday, and I spent a good little while unloading on Kelvin Benjamin a little bit.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you got a lot of calls in regards to Peterman. Our guest is Nate Geary, Buffalo Bills radio network. Nate, there's no way they could start him this week, right? Even if Derek Anderson has, half of the playbook down, you still have to go with Anderson if Allen can't call, right?
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it's got to be that, right? But he's still on the team. If Allen's injured, Peterman's still on the team. There's nothing they can really do about it. They could go get a guy off the street, but is he going to be ready to play come Sunday if an injury to Derek Anderson are happening? And the answer to that question is no. So they're at the very least, stuck with him for another week or until Josh Allen's healthy. And then once that happens, are they going to part ways with Nathan Peterman? I'm not sure. I mean, you know, I think yesterday Joe Biscaglia, after the game, had a one-on-one with Coach McDermott. It was probably the most critical of any one player I've heard him be, and quite honestly, wasn't all that critical. You know, he preached a lot of respecting the football and things like that, you know, some typical McDermott speak. But, yeah, guys, you know, I don't know what they're going to do with this Nathan Peterman situation. This is a grave they dug for themselves, and there is no easy way of getting out of it at this point.
Well, you mentioned that this is a grave that they've dug for themselves, and while everything on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, they're overachieving on the defensive side of the ball. If we've learned anything about Coach McDermott, he can build a defense and manage a defense. He's shown us that, and this is one of the best defenses in the league that is being squandered by absolute ineptitude on the offensive side of the ball. And it makes me wonder, Nate, do these guys have any sort of offensive mindset at all? Do they have any sort of evaluation and talent on the offensive side? I mean, some of these names that are still on this roster, whether it be Kelvin Benjamin, a guy who you thought in Carolina was good enough to draft and good enough to bring with you to Buffalo, knowing his work ethic is what it is, and that hasn't changed from the time he was in Carolina to Buffalo. Yesterday is more evidence against Benjamin. My co-host says that having Nate Peterman as your number two quarterback in the NFL is malpractice. You can't possibly, I mean, you bring in Derek Anderson before week five, after week five, it's almost like, what took you so long? What are you waiting for?
Right. Not only that, but they're trying to sell to us, to people, that they have the infrastructure in place to literally create this, you know, basically what you're looking at Josh Allen is this giant piece of diamond that they're going to turn into, even though they have no evidence of being diamond cutters.
Right.
That they can turn into the world's finest diamond. And let me throw some numbers at you guys that I did some research after the game yesterday. The number is -51.8. Currently, right now, the Bills have a -51.8 DVOA, which is a statistic that measures teams' efficiencies both offensively and defensively.
Yeah. Football Outsiders, we talk about it all the time.
That's right, Football Outsiders. And since the inception of that, and since they went back all the way back to 1950, the Bills are 8.8% lower than the lowest team ever recorded on offense, the 2002 Houston Texans, which were an expansion team with David Carr, who led up a historic number of sacks, and, I mean, couldn't even get out of their own way and won, one or two games that year.
Mm-hmm.
So this, we're talking historically bad stuff on the offensive side of the ball, and on the other side, you're talking about a defense right now that probably, if it weren't for those first two games, might have a first-ranked DVOA defense right now, considering they have a pass rush. They've got a very good to great defensive backfield with the starter on the other side. You could put, it doesn't matter who you put at the other cornerback position, because the rest of the defensive backfield is so good. You lose Micah Hyde, you put a guy named Dean Marlowe in, and you're still good defensively.
Right.
So, at the end of the day, it's just like, this defense is, you're right, overachieving, but to a certain extent, what evidence has this regime given us to make us think that they'll be able to get it right on offense? Sure, $90 million in cap space next year is a lot to work with, but you know, they couldn't lure John Brown here this year with the limited money they had. They decided they wanted to go spend more money on a guy like Charlotte Toole, who at the end of the day, I'm just finding as a useless pickup, because you get a guy like Jordan Phillips 2 weeks ago on waivers, who I'm noticing more on the field than I'm noticing Star Matule. And I know that Star wasn't brought in here to be noticed and wasn't brought in here for sacks and TFL, but, man, at the end of the day, you just wonder what they could have done and what they could have spent offensively had they not gone out and paid him $13, $14, $15 million a year.
Well, and if anything, this the whole decision on Peterman and these moves on offense, the honeymoon's over. And If the conventional wisdom, by the way, our guest is Nate Geary, WGR. You hear him on the Buffalo Bills postgame show as well here on ESPN Rochester. If anything, this kind of draws the fact that who's really making the decisions here? Who has more power in the Bills structure? Is it Sean McDermott calling the shots player personnel-wise, or is it Brandon Bean? Or is the guy keeping Peterman on this team for so long? Is it the owner? Because, Nate, when you have everybody as one voice, who's really accountable here?
Right. There's not a ton of accountability, at least from the standpoint of who can we blame, right? But, I mean, let's reverse this. Let's rewind this back, 2 years when Sean McDermott takes over and people were talking about, well, the Bills didn't fire Doug Whaley in that scouting department until after the draft. And a lot of people looked at that as like, well, what are the Bills are doing? Or what are they doing? Like, why would you wait until after the draft? Why would you use a guy's draft board that you don't intend on being here? And then some people on the other side of the aisle said, this is how people are going to start doing it, because, you know, you have a guy who spends a year scouting and then you get rid of him before a draft and then you're scrambling to put a draft board together. But then you look last year, and they weren't prepared to take a franchise quarterback last year because they didn't have a GM that they felt comfortable drafting that quarterback. And now you look at that draft class of first-round picks and Mitchell Trubisky and Deshaun Watson, and of course, everyone, you know, Patrick Mahomes. Those three players right now all look like very, very legitimate NFL talents, all of which the Bills likely could have had a chance to draft, at least the latter, Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, who we know they traded out for and the Chiefs picked in the Bills spot last year. But them not being in a position last year to take a franchise quarterback really is an indictment of the organizational structure, in that they bring in a coach, but they don't have the front office set yet. They don't have the scouting department set yet. And from what we know, anyways, rumors have it that Terry Pegula really wanted Patrick Mahomes, and he really, really liked him, but that Sean McDermott didn't feel comfortable taking a franchise quarterback in that draft. And they fast forward to this year, and now they've got Brandon Bean and this coaching staff and the scouting department in place, and they go up and trade up to the top seven pick, where most people, most prognosticators, didn't even really have Josh Allen ranked as a first-round talent. And they go up and drafted, and they were willing to trade up to number three overall to do this and trade the other first-round pick they had and more picks. And luckily, that didn't work out. Luckily, John Elway had Bradley Chubb still on the board. I'm sorry, at number four. But, like, luckily that happened, right? Otherwise, because then you don't have Tremaine Edmonds. And then it's just, guys, I'm very much starting to worry about the infrastructure in place. Can they develop a guy like Josh Allen? I don't know. Like, Sean McVay's not walking through the door anytime soon. And everybody wants to point to Jared Goff. Don't judge too early, because what we saw of Jared Goff. Jared Goff threw for 4,400 yards and 43 touchdowns his junior year. Josh Allen didn't throw that his entire career at Wyoming. So it's just like that. There's just a lot going on, you know, and it's very difficult if you're a person that appreciates offense to look at this. Mike Shope just tweeted out a little while ago that Matthew Stafford is averaging 277 yards passing a game, and it's ranked 19th in the league. The Bills can't even break 100 yards. So it's just, you know, we're at a very difficult crossroads offensively. And it doesn't matter how much money you spend. If you don't have the quarterback, people don't want to come play for you, even if you are in L.A. or it doesn't matter where you are. You think they're going to come to Buffalo to play for Josh Allen. I think you're going to be sorely mistaken.
You watch the Sunday night game last night and you're like, oh, this is what an NFL game is supposed to look like.
Right.
You know, especially after watching what we had to watch early in the day. Nate Geary, host of the Buffalo Bills radio post-game show on the Bills Radio Network and our sister station WGR, good with his time and joining us here in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Nate, it was last week about this time that all the hot talk was LeSean McCoy is going to get dealt. The Philadelphia Eagles picked up the phone and they called the Bills about LeSean McCoy. And we're hearing now that the likelihood of that happening is slim to none, probably because the Bills are asking for too much and the Eagles aren't willing to part with that much. But I'm curious as to whether or not there's any more movement on that front, because I'm sure that the Eagles aren't the only team right now thinking, boy, we could use somebody like McCoy.
Yeah, and Albert Breer, actually, I believe it was Albert Breer, could have been Lacanfora, that reported that the Bills not only aren't really interested in moving on from LeSean McCoy, that they are done with, quote, the teardown process, and that they would like to start building a team up a little bit more. And I guess I could agree with that, right? But at the same time, I think I, to a certain extent, kind of like the fact that they asked for a second and potentially third-round pick, because if you don't ask for it, you won't get it. I mean, it's just in any salesperson's thought. If you don't ask for the sale, you won't get it. So in that aspect, I like it. But I think my attention has to turn to, like, for me, and I was thinking about maybe putting a piece together on the WDR website about this, I think your attention has to turn to a team like Indianapolis, right? Like one of those teams that have a legitimate backup quarterback in Jacoby Brissett. Maybe you can use LeSean McCoy to piggyback and get yourself a starting caliber quarterback that can start for the rest of the year this year, and maybe into next season, with the idea that Josh Allen needs to go back to the bench. He needs to start from scratch, and he's not getting better with the reps. And that's what we were all sort of hoping for, is that the reps would sort of refine him, and they're not. In fact, you can make the case that they might be making him worse. So a guy like Jacoby Brissett or, you know, someone like that, it might make more sense for the Bills to turn around a guy like LeSean McCoy, a running back needy team. But Indianapolis in their own rights are having struggles right now. They're a 1-5 football team. So how much are they really going to be looking to, you know, maybe move on from their second string quarterback when they know other teams are coming calling? So you know, it's an interesting situation. I don't suspect that LeSean McCoy gets moved, but this team has surprised me before. So I guess I won't take anything off the table for sure.
Nate Geary is our guest, host of the Buffalo Bills postgame show. He also can read his work on WGR.com. Nate, as far as Josh Allen and the future, and you brought up him going back to the bench, maybe this is the convenient out, him getting hurt. But I'm just waiting for that little flicker, and we saw it in the preseason, that pass where he stepped up in the pocket against the Browns' second stringers and found the receiver in the back of the end zone. And it's a difficult question to answer, but I have to ask it anyways, and everybody's wondering this. How do we know, hey, just give him more time versus, hey, no, this guy is never going to get it? Because I'm starting to think the latter. I haven't seen anything this regular season outside of his legs, Nate, that would make me think, yeah, he's going to get it at some point.
Well, I think it'd be easier for me or you to give up on a guy like Allen. We didn't trade up. We didn't use those assets to move up to get him. And we didn't bet our careers on a player like Josh Allen. So it's much harder for a guy like Brandon Bean to say, I made a mistake. I screwed the pooch on this one. Like, it's going to be much harder for the guy in charge to actually make that decision. So the thing you wonder about Allen is, you look around at some of the other rookies, is even, you know, at times when Sam Darnold has had a lot of struggle, he's also flashed. You've seen drives. You've seen quarters of football where you say, wow, that's a franchise quarterback. And then you see some plays, you're like, ooh, that's not what you want to see out of your franchise quarterback. But you're seeing, you know, drives, you're seeing quarters. The same with Mayfield. He's got 5 interceptions on the air. All of them that are starting are sub 60% completion percentage. But each of them outside of Allen, you can say, hey, I've seen a quarter, I've seen a drive here. With Allen, it's like, find me a couple plays where it looks like he can put it together. And I mean, even when he does that, you have Patrick DeMarco lining up on the line of scrimmage with the tight end, and the only good, real positive play you have is called back on a procedural penalty. So how much can you – it's difficult, guys. Like, I look at the situation, and Allen's the only one out of the group that doesn't seem to have even been able to put together a drive or a quarter of football where you're like, okay, the light's going on for him. I see it, you know. And then you can – then if you saw that, you could start to take a little bit more of the bad because, you know, I saw this, I saw that. But he's played arguably, I mean, right up there, he's played the third most out of the 4 starting quarterbacks and basically has played just as much as as much as Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. And you just don't see it at all. Well, so I don't know. I don't know when you can make that decision, but it's not going to be an easy one for Brandon Bean.
And Nate, I don't know that... I think if you mention all of these rookies, what they all have that I think Josh Allen hasn't had up to this point, and I all praise the signing of Derek Anderson. I think it's 5 weeks overdue, but I'm glad that they brought in a veteran to kind of mentor this kid on the sidelines, because I'll remember that Sam Darnold pick 6 in week 1 on Monday Night Football, and the first guy that he's
first
seeing
play
on the side,
right,
on the first play, the first guy he's going to is Josh McCown. He's got a veteran quarterback who's got a coaching background helping him through his reps. He's got a great coach in Jeremy Bates helping him through his reps. In Cleveland, Baker Mayfield's got Todd Haley, and say what you will about him, he's got head coaching experience. He knows how to deal with quarterbacks. He's done it for years. You know, I'm a little bit nervous about what Rosen has in Arizona, but you're getting my point here. I don't know that the Bills, you certainly don't have it in your head coach.
Yeah, the Bills have a wide receiver coach.
Right, right. And, you know, when you watch the game last night and you see Andy Reid sitting next to his quarterback and working with him and talking to him, and like, Sean McVay doing it with you're never going to see that in Buffalo. And this isn't a knock on Sean McDermott. He's a defensive-minded head coach, but he doesn't have any support for the kid. I mean, you know, Dable's up in the booth, totally disconnected from the situation. Now at least you have Derek Anderson there, and maybe, just maybe, that's a little bit of a bright spot in terms of the development of Josh Allen, but I even that leaves me a little skeptical.
Right, I mean, it's not like Derek Anderson is tried and true, or like he's the formerly Tom Brady, now is just at the tail end of his career and can't quite put together a 16-game season. Like, you know, at the end of the day, yes, he's seen some things, but, you know, I don't know. Like, how much is Derek Anderson's tutoring ability going to move the needle for Allen. I mean, I have questions, you know, like I mentioned, I mean, I don't mean to sound, you know, sarcastic or snarky about it, but David Culley doesn't have a track record of developing young quarterbacks. And if you look at a guy like Brian Daboll, who I like, he doesn't have a track record of developing any young quarterbacks. And the 1 year he was a college coach and had the reins as the offensive coordinator, he led a run-based offense with Jalen Hurts, maybe the most limited starting quarterback in big-time college football. The one thing you could say is the second half when Tua came into the game, that they looked like a passing offense and they looked completely different. But, I mean, look at Tua now. I mean, the kid's throwing for 5 touchdowns a half. Yeah. How much was that really Brian Daboll and not the quarterback?
Nate Gary bringing it. Nate, how can people follow you on Twitter and read more of your work?
Yeah, up on Twitter at Nate Gary WGR, WGR550.com, of course, you can catch me at. And my other site that I do some stuff on the side too at CoverOne.net. All my stuff up there promptly.
Doing great stuff, Nate. Really appreciate all the hard work you're doing following this team.
Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.
Nate, talk to you soon. Nate Gary, hear his work after each and every Buffalo Bills game here on ESPN Rochester, your Buffalo Bills radio post-game host. All right, we've got Sean McDermott and his press conference scheduled to go off a little after 4 o'clock here. Let's see if he's on time, if he's prompt, if he's tardy. We'll figure that out.
We should do the game we did Friday, and I like doing these things. You know, the team, were, you know, danger showing up. We all took like 5-minute windows. We all threw in a buck. Kaylee, our promotions director, won.
Yeah,
so what would be the show? You didn't realize that was going on.
I didn't realize that was going on. I walk in and money's being passed around. Like, you guys were laying down bets on what time I was going to show up.
We can bet on anything.
You really can.
So if we're going to bet on Sean McDermott, I would give the over at 4. He says 4 o'clock. That's, you know, McDermott time. That's 4:10.
You're saying 4:10? I was going to take 4:10. I'm going to be a little bit more aggressive. I'm going to say 4:05. I'm going to say 4:05.
By the way, do I have a problem if I'm betting what time you're going to walk through the door?
You might have a problem with some action. Let's take a break here. Come back, and we'll get that Sean McDermott press conference for you next live on AM 950 and 95.7 FM, ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion, we've got you covered. Plus, on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The Sports League. ESPN Rochester. Looking for the best sounding, most interactive way to listen to the sports leader? The Radio.com app is the official new home of ESPN Rochester. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. Listen in your car via Apple CarPlay or Android Auto. Connect wirelessly on your smart speakers or just pop some earbuds in and take us with you everywhere. The Radio.com app. Free to download, easy to use, and where you can find AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.